CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
It's the show that's taking over TV this week on Channel 9, Ninja Warrior.
Got Channel 7 worried.
Does it? They'll come out with their own version.
No, they changed programming on Channel 7 because of the ratings were so good on...
What did they put on?
So they put on Little Big Shots instead of that other kind of Spicks and Specks show because they had to combat how good the ratings were.
Little Big Shots is that Kids Say the Darndest Things kind of rip-off, isn't it?
Well, kind of, but the kids are, like, amazingly talented.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
It's pretty interesting, actually.
All right, well, it's got the TV networks at war, and I was watching it the other night, and I thought, hey, I know that guy. A guy by the name of Sam Brennan. He was on Big Brother when I worked on the show, so I've actually...
A Paralympian, isn't he?
Yeah, I've seen him nude. He doesn't know that.
Oh, jeez.
He joins us on the show right now.
Morning, Sam.
Morning, guys. I know that you've seen me nude now. Thanks for telling me.
What a creep.
What did you think? The Frank and Beans all there? All good?
Yeah, all good, mate. You're going all right for
what
yourself.
What do you rate him? Give him a rating out of 10.
10, yeah, mate.
10.
You are killing it, Sam. Now, the show, for people that may have seen it, so
it's
Ninja Warrior.
Obstacle course.
Obstacle course. And you've got the... Do you call it a prosthetic leg or bionic leg, Sam? What do you call it?
Look, I'd prefer bionic leg, but...
Bionic leg.
Professional term or the political correct one is prosthetic leg, but who likes political correctness anyway?
Of course.
No one.
Exactly. Not us on this show, that's for sure.
No one.
But I just wanted to play the audio of you taking on the Ninja Warrior obstacle.
An amazing amount of strength required in that left leg to make it across each step, but he's doing it.
I tell you what, when you're at home and you say, I can't do that, that is too hard. Get your inspiration from Sam.
Oh, get your inspiration from Sammy, is what they were saying, mate.
Paralympics wasn't enough. You had to take on Ninja Warrior.
I think Mum's sort of cheering out, Sammy is just enough for everyone to listen to.
How much training did you do going into it, mate? Because I did see somewhere that you ripped the skin off your hands with the amount of training you were doing.
Yeah. So, the skin ripping off my hands wasn't actually in the training. I actually did that on a course.
Right.
I didn't grab onto that rope tight enough. I was like, oh, this is not bad. You know, I sort of swing off this thing, grab onto that thing, and off we go. And I didn't grab, my grip wasn't tight enough on the rope, and I just slid straight down. And when you fall into the water, you have to sort of paddle off to the side. And as I was paddling off to the side, I felt like a bit of flappy thing hanging off my hands. Yeah. And I pulled my hands out, and there was, some layers hanging off. I thought, oh, that's not good. And then you have to go back into the medical bay, and they snip it all off, and I had to get a few stitches in the side of it. So just one of those awkward... you know, battle wounds where it doesn't look cool. It just looks weird. It looks like you've been batting off too much or something. And you have to go have it wrapped up the whole time and you can't do anything.
Because, Sam, I read somewhere that you actually don't get to have a crack at the course before you do it. That right?
No, nothing. No. So you have a quick look at, the first two obstacles and then you have to sit in a big warehouse and wait for everyone to just do their runs.
I thought maybe you can get down and do something like Tough Mudder or, you know, one of those things to sort of prepare yourself for it, maybe.
I did Tough Mudder, but it's so different. So with Tough Mudder, it's over a 20-kilometre course. So you have like sort of a jog, and when you get to the next obstacle, you can sort of size it up and go, oh, yeah, I can do that. Where in this one, if you stop, they'll disqualify you. So you just have to keep on going.
It's a time trial.
It's on a time, yeah.
Yeah, you're on a timer.
Did you think you were going to go further than you did? Because I think you got to the third obstacle and... I mean, I wouldn't get past the first, but did you feel like you were going to go even further than you did?
I arrogantly believed that I would. I thought, look, you know, being an upper body dominated strength, I'll be able to grab onto anything that requires upper body stuff. That'd be fine. And then ironically, it was an upper body, you know, something as simple as a rope that saw me disqualified from the event. I knew that when I got to that spinny bridge thing, there was going to be difficulties, and I knew the running wall was going to be a bit of a difficulty as well, and sadly they were on the course one that I started off on, but it was an upper body obstacle that got me kicked off.
Gotcha.
Sam, that bionic leg that you have, like, it looks so futuristic, and the technology in those things these days. How much does that cost?
Yeah, good question. So that one's about $14,000, the running leg.
Wow.
So that what they, it's like a blade, like a running blade. So you've seen, you know, the infamous Oscar Pistorius. He used to rock one of those bad boys as well. He's given us a bad name. But yeah, so it's one of those, it's like a carbon fiber blade that sort of compresses up and springs forward when you run.
14 grand. How many different ones do you have? Like, how much money have you spent?
Oh, fair bit. It's, well, for me, it's a necessity. So you know, you don't really. And I've needed them my whole life. It's just like, you know, buying a new car when you need one, you sort of go, oh, it has to happen.
Yeah.
But my other one, my day-to-day leg, that's about 50,000, so.
50K.
50,000,
yeah,
did you say?
50K.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. You've got a book out. I know you're still selling copies of the book, so if people want to find out more about you, you can, you're still doing that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So yeah. I published a book called Three Quarter Man. It's about, you know, my journey through sport and then also, I guess, mental health in sport. What I tend to see happen is that a lot of athletes fall into this pit of depression post retirement. And I never did. I was very lucky. Everything about my career has always been good and fun. And you know, I never looked back and I'm going, oh, you know, I wish I did something that way. And so I analyzed that and I thought, well, you know, that is pretty unique and rare that, you know, I've come out of it scot free. And I analyzed it all and it was just about tapping into projects and staying active, which, you know, keeps the mind healthy. And a lot of athletes were just focusing on the one thing, which was their sport. And as a result, once retirement came along, they had nothing else. So of course they're going to fall into some sort of pit. So I wrote all about that. That's available in all major bookstores around Australia, but I don't know if I'm supposed to get a copy.
Plug. No, that's good, man.
It's available in most bookshops, so yeah, it's a decent read.
Three Quarter Man, if you're keen on that story, make sure you get it. And just one last question before you go. What's harder?
Please.
Ninja Warrior or the time you spent in the Big Brother house?
two very, very different things, I think.
Or very similar.
actually, they're both quite arduous at times. You know, you burn your hands, you know. No, look, I think the Ninja Warrior definitely, just physically, it pushes you. Yeah. And also stepping up and you're in front of a crowd and you look at it and you go, God, if I slip up or land awkwardly or, you know, pinch out a fart because of all the pressure on this one, you know, I'm going to get laughed at. This is all bad.
Where again, kind of like Big Brother.
Yeah, exactly. You forget the cameras are watching you, Big Brother, so you can just do it anyway.
Just chilling out.
Kitchen and off you go. Yeah.
Nice work, mate. Well, great to have you on the show. And
you're an amazing athlete,
yes.
Sam, really.
Good stuff, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Get up with Free and Jaunzy.
Check it out. The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Once upon a time, at a radio station far, far away, there was a radio game that changed the radio landscape forever. This was not that game. It's Brian Gorby's movie bio guessing game.
All right, I've scrapped the prize for this. There is no prize up for grabs because I don't want people that just call for the prize. I only want people that have heard this game, they've heard how good you are, and they think they've got what it takes to knock you off.
Jeez, you're getting desperate, aren't you?
I am. So, movie bio. I read out the bio. First one to buzz in with their name can have a guess. If they get it, they win. If they don't, the other person has a free guess. If they can't get it, we continue on.
All right, who's up first?
If anyone can beat you, it's Sabelle in Carry On. Morning, Sabelle.
Morning, Sabelle.
Morning, guys. Morning, guys. I love the show and I listen to this game every morning. So I reckon, Bree, I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge this morning.
I like your style, Sabelle. Good luck.
You've really softened her up there with the compliment. I like that tactic.
You're not in my head, Sabelle. You ain't in there.
She's not going easy on you, Sabelle.
All right.
Come on.
Here we go.
Here we go. Stephen has been kicked out of his apartment by his girlfriend. Stephen has a new apartment and decides to slip $50 to Chip. Stephen then fakes an interest in Chip's line of work, hence the $50. However, Chip takes this to heart and tries to become Stephen's best friend. When Stephen no longer wants to be Chip's friend, the man who can do it all goes on an all-out assault to ruin Stephen's life. In the backdrop is the dedicated subplot of the trial of a former kid star for murdering his brother. The $50 is for pay TV. It stars Jim Carrey from 1996. Bree's buzzed in.
I'm going to say... Oh, God.
1996, Jim Carrey.
Ace Ventura?
Chip. Oh. Sabel.
I'm going to say Cable Guy.
Cable Guy's correct.
As soon as I said it.
Oh, I thought for a second there, Sabelle, if you got that wrong, Bree had it. She had it.
As soon as I said it, I was like, of course. I've never seen that movie, though.
Oh, great movie.
Never seen it.
It's a good Jim Carrey movie, Cable Guy. Sabelle, we haven't won yet, but first points are on the board. Thank you for playing. All right, we'll leave her there. Let's go to Josh in Berkeley Vale. Morning, Josh.
Morning.
Good morning, guys.
If you win this, mate, the people win the series this week. So
we've got it, mate.
No pressure. Here we go. Based on an incredible true story of one man's fight for survival and freedom in the pre-Civil War United States.
Josh.
Whoa, he's in.
Braveheart.
Braveheart. Are you nervous, Bree? Not Braveheart. Free guess to Bree.
In the Civil War. Mm.
The music really goes with your thought. I need it in three, two. Have a guess.
The Samurai.
Not the Samurai. We continue reading. Solomon, a free black man from upstate New York, is abducted and...
Oh, now I forget the name of the film.
I need your
answer. Django Unchained.
Free guess your way, Josh.
No idea.
All right. No, you don't want to have a guess? Got to buzz you out, mate. We're all back on here. From upstate New York, he's abducted and sold into slavery, facing cruelty personified by...
Bree.
Bree's in.
9 Years a Slave?
9 Years a Slave is incorrect.
Josh, it's 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave is the name of the movie. Oh, off by 3 years. Off by 3 years.
That sucks to lose like that.
What's that?
Because I knew the film.
I knew the first one.
I knew what film it was.
And because you mentioned this movie, I think, last couple of weeks. Yeah, you said something. There was an actor from that movie in something else.
No, the director.
Yeah.
He's directing the new Tupac documentary.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. The people win it this morning. It's a rare win for the people.
No comment.
Are we still going to play next week?
I guess so.
You got to bounce back.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out. The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
What's your view on taking a mental health day off work?
All for it.
I think it's... In this day and age, I think there's still a stigma attached to probably voicing to your boss or your co-workers that you need a mental health day.
Yep.
Which I think is silly. Like, it's definitely a thing. Like, if you're physically ill,
yes.
A lot of people will say, I'm physically ill, I need a day off.
Could you just say, oh, look, I'm not feeling that great, I'm going to have a sick day today and not... So, I mean, you shouldn't have to disguise it in that way. But
there's the conversation I guess we're talking about. But why should you have to?
Oh, I'm just... Well, I guess if you don't want them to think you're... how do I say it? Mentally weak, maybe?
Like, and
you,
that's if, the stigma I
no,
think that we're
No, but if that's your perception of it.
And I think that needs to be changed because I think obviously taking a physical health day off is something that you need to do, and I think mental health days you need to take off as well because obviously some workplaces can be really stressful and some people struggle with anxiety or depression just like they would struggle with, you know, getting the flu or being ill. But it's interesting to see that there's a story that's come out in the last couple of days. A girl by the name of Madeline Parker, she's a web developer. She wrote an email saying, hey guys, just letting everyone know that I'm taking the next 2 days off for my mental health. I need to, you know, relax, rejuvenate, and I'll be back on Monday.
Yep.
Anyway, it's interesting to see what the CEO of the company wrote back. Did you see this?
It was quite positive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually wrote a guy named Ben. He's the CEO of the company. He wrote back, hey, Madeline, just wanted to personally thank you for sending emails like this. Every time someone does this, I use it as a reminder of the importance of using sick days for mental health. I can't believe this is not standard practice at all organisations. You're an example to all of us and help cut through the stigma so we can all bring ourselves to work in a good state of mind.
Well, that's great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But isn't there there's such a stigma, though, attached to, I think, even taking a day off?
Yeah.
I think from a workplace, you know, I think that some workplaces kind of, they always attach, like if you take a day off work, everyone kind of talks about you behind your back, which I think that needs to change because, I mean, if you actually really need a day off, then why should you be ridiculed for it?
Yeah, I mean, I've had days where I've gone, I just don't think I can get in there and do that today, and especially in a job that we're in where you're meant to be kind of, you know, bright and bubbly 24-7 mm-hmm. because you've got to make everyone happy that's driving to work and they don't want to hear about your problems.
And this job, our job, can be mentally draining, can't it?
Yeah, so I've had days where I've like, oh, I just would love just a day's mental break because we're always thinking about, you know, what we're going to do on the show. And it's not a physically draining job, but it is a mentally draining job at times. So I've had those moments. But I don't know. I grew up just being told you just push through. You just keep going. I mean, you're the same. You haven't had a sick day in ages.
No, I mean, I never take sick days. Mm. But I think that's probably because it's been ingrained in me that it's taboo. You shouldn't take a sick day.
I fully believe there should be that leniency to, and you should be able to openly say, I would like a day off for my own mental state.
Mm-hmm. Like how
100%. But on the flip side of that, I would hate to see people milking it and people using it as an excuse when things, you know, life is tough.
I mean, it's both sides of the card, isn't it?
And when you get backed into a corner and if you have to throw out there, oh, I'm mentally not well, and you're lying
and that's why
just to get out of the situation.
That's why I think there's a stigma attached to it.
That is not on. Mm-hmm. That is not on.
Because it's disrespectful to everyone that actually is struggling with, you know, that kind of thing. So that annoys me as well.
Well, once you lie about it and once you use it as an excuse just purely to get out of something because you're not being sincere, then it does wreck it for everybody else.
Yeah.
That genuinely needs that day.
Because I want to know, like, obviously there's all different kinds of sick days that you can take, but is there actually a thing like where you can take mental health days? Is that
I think they just count it as a sick day.
They just count it as a sick
day.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, that's interesting to me because, I think there should be a certain amount that obviously you can have there to use, which, I mean, most people, like I probably wouldn't, but it's good to know that you have the option, you know, that kind of like leniency that you can.
I think it's good for us to have this discussion and also stories like this to break where even if, you know, maybe you're not someone who feels like you are in that mental state, you are someone that's strong and you're fine and nothing's worried and that's okay. But if someone comes and talks to you about it, if you're a boss and they come and talk to you about it and they say, hey, here's how I'm feeling, I feel like I might need a day off. Be open to it.
Yep.
You know,
it's important
be open to
have
that.
The conversation
exactly.
And to be, respectful of someone and kind of, you know, have that understanding, I think. And it's great to have these conversations. And I just thought, you know, we have this platform. It'd be good to talk about that. And I mean, if you are struggling at work and you maybe need to take a mental health day off, do it. I say go for it and start that conversation at your workplace.
And CEOs like that with response is
great.
The
right way to go, isn't it?
Exactly.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
Check it out. The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Oh, we love to see the coasties winning stuff, don't we?
Yeah, what was this about again? This is the
statewide fish and chip competition. And guess who's taken it out?
The Senni Coast.
The Senni Coast.
Oh, we've done it. Yeah, best fish and chips.
Terrigal Beach Fish and Chip Co. And the owner, Sabina, joins us right now. Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're good.
We're loving this.
Oh, that's sweet.
God, you're living the dream running a fish and chip shop. I love it.
Oh, you're telling me. this is fantastic. I'm, pretty excited, actually. All your hard work pays off and you've got happy customers voting for you. So what more do you want?
How long have you, because you run it with your husband, Ben, right?
Yeah.
How long have you guys been in the industry?
Well, I've been doing this my 25th year. So I started when I was 14 after school, and it's the only job I've ever had, cooking fish and chips. I love it.
Well, you're an expert.
I know, crazy. Yeah, crazy. And my husband, I dragged him along for the ride. He used to be in, like, fine wine, but, I said, come on, let's, move up the coast and let's do this. So he's only been doing it for about 6 years. But I'm the brains of the business.
You roped him into the fish and chip game, did you?
Yeah. So it's a bit different. Going from, nice controlled environment with, you sort of know where everything is and, you got your nice air conditioner on, and then I threw him in December, in the heat and the fryer's over, and he was like, oh, this is crap. Like, I don't want to do this, but slowly, he's enjoying it a lot more now.
When we ran our Best of the Coast competition, CFM's Best of the Coast, were you stinging we didn't do a fish and chip category?
Yeah, totally. I was like looking at that and going bakery hairdresser.
Which I don't know why we didn't.
I don't know why we didn't either.
It actually annoys me a little bit that we didn't.
We should have done that.
Yeah, I'm ashamed of you guys. Come on, next year.
We'll put it in next year.
We will,
sure.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, you've gone above, you've gone statewide, you've taken on everyone at once, so.
I know, and I can't even go and get the award. It's in the Sydney Fish Markets, and the day before I'm going into hospital, so my manager, Alex, and one of my staff members, Tegan, are going to go and accept the award for me, so.
Well, I can vouch for you guys, Sabina. You're my local fish and chip shop, the Terrigal Beach and Fish and Chip Co. So you guys do...
Oh, yay, thank you.
The thing that I like probably the most, if you haven't been to the shop, Gaundy, is that they do a gluten-free batter, which is awesome. And you guys developed that right there in the shop, didn't you?
Yeah, my husband did. Like, it was really hard to get that right. Oh, I tell you, like, it was... But I love it. Like,
And the people really like it. It's actually really nice.
Yeah, no, I know. We make everything there. It's amazing what can happen when you make everything yourself, you know. Like, every now and again, like, you go to a function and they just bring you out this frozen, pre-packaged crap and you go, oh, I know exactly what it is. And it's like, how hard is it to make stuff yourself, like our salt and pepper squid, our calamari? It's all, you know, none of it's frozen. It all comes in and we have to make it ourselves and you can taste the difference. I'm passionate about food. I love it.
I got one little question just to pass the test. I'm from WA. If I walk in and order a potato cake, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What am I ordering?
Not only that, you are getting a potato scallop, but you are getting...
No, I'm getting a potato cake.
It's not a potato cake.
No. It is a potato cake.
It's not a cake. It's flat.
It's not a scallop.
It's a scallop.
Get out.
100%.
No, I'm sorry. It's a scallop. And guess what? We make them ourselves too. We get 50 kilo bags of potatoes. We wash them. We cut them. It is a labour of love.
You guys put in a lot of work and it pays off.
So. I don't want to take on an expert in your field either, so whatever you say goes. All right, well, best fish and chip in New South Wales. Congratulations. Terrigal is where you find them.
Thank you.
Sabina, hopefully I haven't heard a rumour. I heard you guys were putting on some free fish and chips coming up soon.
Yeah, look, if people could get on our Facebook page and like it, we're going to do free fish and chips just to thank everyone that voted.
What day?
What day?
Oh, do you know what? I haven't even thought about it. Look, I haven't even thought about it. We'll put it on our Facebook page. Well, and, we're going to just give out free fish and chips because, you know, it was the people that voted for us. So I just want to thank the people.
Let us know.
Excellent. I'll be trekking down
We'll take the day off work for that.
Get up with Bree and Gaundy. Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Love this story this morning. I'm not sure if you've seen this or not, but in Texas, story out of Texas.
Was that your Texan accent?
Yeah, how do you do it? Texas. Can someone do it for me? Texan.
In Texas. There you go.
Yeah, now we're talking.
You can copy.
Now we're talking.
Stop.
An 11-year-old girl is being pulled over... By the police.
The popo.
For driving home. Her and her 10-year-old brother in the car. She's 11. He's 10.
She had her brother in the car too.
Had her brother in the car as well.
Oh, my Lord.
They're at their auntie's place, and the auntie's called the mum and said, hey, can't get the guys home for whatever reason.
Can you come pick them up?
She said, no, I can't either. What about if they just drive themselves home? Because when the police contacted the mother, they found out that...
She'd given permission,
Yeah, for the 11-year-old girl to just drive her and her brother home.
I just picture the cops walking up to the window. This 11-year-old girl rolls down the window and the cop goes, what are you doing? She goes, officer, it's fine. My mum said I could.
She's like, glasses on. What are you doing?
License and registration. She hands out a library card.
the thing is, I read that story and I was like, brilliant. I mean, that's funny. Amazing. I love it. And I thought, but it's also wrong. And then I also thought, hang on, my friend Bree was telling me stories about her and her brother out on the farm at a much... at a much younger age than 11 years old. Am I right or am I wrong?
No comment.
Nothing that could incriminate you?
My brother was 8. That's a true
making
story.
You 10?
No,
is
I would
that?
Have been
9 or 10?
10. I
okay,
would have been 10.
Because didn't you say, and this is on the farm, keep in mind, and this stuff happens in the country.
It's
so
private property.
Private property. It's not out on the roads.
I love how that's how you get away with it.
Is
it's
it?
In the country, guys. This stuff happens.
But didn't you tell me, because you guys were tiny, that you were up on the seat and he was doing the pedals? Is that what was happening?
That happened once.
So he, now you're willing to comment. No comment before. But.
Oh, my dad bought us this Bush Basher car, yeah. And I just remember my brother being so short that he, before we figured out you could put phone books on the seat, he would drive and he'd sit up on the seat, and then to change gears, he'd have to go underneath, change a gear, and then he'd come back up and swerve whatever was in front.
Where was Mama Di and Big Steve while this was happening?
They were encouraging it.
No.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi. Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Thinking about starting up a blues hotline this morning, just okay. A disappointment hotline.
The disappointment hotline.
13, 12, 16, just call through and share your disappointment. Producer Rach would love to hear it.
Venting
no.
hotline.
Venting hotline, if you want to vent.
The venting hotline. If you want to vent to someone, Producer Rach, put your hand up.
No.
13, 12, 16.
Hand is up.
Think of the people, Rach. Everyone's feeling it this morning.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you've still got to support them.
No,
don't
we
take
are.
The phone off the hook.
We're still supporting, but you can vent.
Yeah, you need
Joey
to
Joey Johns
vent.
Was venting on... He's been venting for weeks, but...
I was going to say, he's been venting all
it, it's hard to get a win when Valentine Holmes is scoring hat-tricks.
Here's Munster making a big run. 20 metres out, 10 metres out, floats the ball away for Holmes, and he goes in. Holmes is in for three.
Can I just say, Valentine Holmes... What a name.
Cool name.
Isn't it?
Sounds famous.
Valentine Holmes.
What about that try he scored where he takes the ball and it's on his fingertips, he's trying to catch it, gathers it, and then still scores.
Taps it over to himself.
Pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that's when I fell asleep after that.
You're like,
I was
and
like,
I'm done.
This is not turning our way at all. But look, a good game last night. Got some audio here as well of James Maloney. Did I just say good game last night?
Good game, boys.
Good game last night.
We gave
it was a stinker of a game.
We gave 110%.
Maloney after the game last night.
Yeah, look, it's terrible, mate. New South Wales deserve better. Laurie deserves better, mate. The coaching staff, mate. We haven't leaked 22 points all series. We're leaking now. We scored more than six, you know, every other game. Like, it's, mate, that disappointing.
It was interesting to see how kind of he couldn't contain his emotion, could he? Because usually after the game, those kind of after-game interviews, they kind of don't give away all that much, whereas James Maloney was just devastated, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty hard to go down in a decider 22-6.
Pretty horrible.
I mean,
name.
That's no good for anyone.
The stuff that I was most interested in, though, was Andrew Johns after the game, and Fatty Vaughton and him got into it, because Andrew Johns obviously... after game two, really got into the New South Wales boys, and he was trying to, like, coach them, obviously from the commentator's room. And last night, Andrew Johns was at it again, and he was like, I couldn't barely watch it. He felt sick, and he was saying what he would have done. And then Fatty Vaughton asked him the big question.
What's that?
Will you coach the New South Wales team?
Interested to hear what
and
he says.
This is what he said.
I feel sick at the moment. It's just so hard to watch. You got to applaud Queensland. I still don't think New South Wales get it. Now, there's times there where the ball was thrown back inside and we just switched off. You can't give up. You can't give up on it in Origin footy. Cooper Cronk spoke about will and desire. That's what win these games.
Laurie Daly's been there 5 years now, won one series. It's conjecture as to whether he'll be there next year. But if New South Wales came to you and asked you to be their coach, would you do it?
I don't know. I can't answer that at the moment.
I think you're thinking about it. I think you'd like to.
I don't know, mate.
What's stopping you? What's stopping you from jumping into it and saying, yes, I want to do that?
Well, I don't know if I need that pressure in my life.
He likes to party.
I've got to go out on Saturday night.
Outside of Origin, I like to get away with what I want. I reckon he's already been spoken to, listening
so
to that.
Maybe.
He really shut it down in a way that I can't answer that right now, but more like I can't talk about it.
Out of respect to Laurie Daly.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what New South Wales need, the greatest ever player to play for New South Wales.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to step up.
Okay.
Maybe instead of like doing set plays and all that kind of stuff that Andrew Johns spoke about, maybe they need some inspiration.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at the Queensland team, that's what they spoke about last night. They run on pure will and determination. In game two, that's what the Queenslanders got it over the line with. Whereas New South Wales, sometimes you just don't see that.
With the players going out for the Maroons, though, when you look at the big names that are going to be likely out of next Origin.
Well, who knows if Cooper Cronk will be back. We don't know.
And Slater.
Slater.
JT. Mm. Well, they say he's gone, but he might come back.
But look at Munster.
The same thing we say. I know.
Didn't he step up last night?
Yeah. The same thing we say every year. Next year?
Yeah.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi. Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
I want to talk about racial marketing for a little second. I saw this story and I, to be honest, couldn't even believe what I was reading. It's a massive company. And if you haven't heard of racial marketing before, it's where a company will, they'll market a product towards a particular race in a certain way. And the swimwear brand Speedo are under massive fire at the moment for advertising a range of swimming goggles as Asian fit.
Asian fit?
That's what's on the packaging. That's how they've marketed these particular set of goggles.
Is this something that they've made up or is this something, so is it a thing?
I've looked into it and it's interesting that the goggles appear on the Speedo's official website as Aqua Pure Asian Fit and they cost $40. The description of the goggle reads, "The unique IQ Fit goggle seal has been created using 3D head scan data from the Southeast Asian population. The result is a precision fit specifically engineered for Asian faces."
Yeah, but is that racist or is that just, I mean, if it's, is it racist? Or is it just the fact that that's the way you're genetically built? I mean,
a pair of goggles, you can wear any pair of goggles. An Asian person, their face isn't different to ours. They can wear a normal pair of goggles.
But they said, read that genetic thing again, where they
Load of bull. What a load of crap.
They did the testing.
Oh, yeah, well, you'd read anything, you'd believe anything you'd read, wouldn't you? I just don't agree with it, that they put it on the packaging that it's an Asian fit. I just don't think it's right.
What would an Aussie fit be?
What, a Caucasian fit? Do they have a Caucasian fit?
I don't know.
What, so you don't think it's racist?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Well,
I mean,
no, you say you're honest opinion.
No, I just, well, if I stand next up to someone of Asian descent, mm-hmm. right, and genetically we're made up differently, that's fine. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, there is a difference. There is a difference.
Well, I don't
whether
agree.
You like it or not.
I don't agree.
So if they're making goggles that are maybe more comfortable for that person, what's wrong with that?
I just don't agree that we're that different in terms of, like, you have to put it on the packaging and you have to make them different. I just don't think that's right.
I'd be interested to chat to it's hard for us to comment because we're not Asian people.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff on Twitter from Asian people and a lot of people commenting saying that they believe it's really racist. One person saying that as a fellow Asian, and they're actually taking the absolute piss out of Speedo. Right. They're saying, "Are you guys ridiculous? Are you for real? Come on."
If we have any Asian listeners, are you offended? 13, 12, 16.
I'd love to know. Yeah. Does this offend you? Or do you think, oh, okay, that's fair enough? I'd like to know because obviously we can't really comment.
No, I'd love to. I would definitely love to hear from you morning. It's that thing where, and maybe it's not the same, but it gets me thinking about where, like, if we were to get on air and do an Asian accent, right, and get on and go, oh, you know, do the Asian accent, that's racist. But if I get on and do a Scottish accent or
Pommy
accent.
Not the same, I don't think. They're talking about physical makeup.
No, I get that. I get that.
How you're physically built. I think it's in 2017, I don't know, I just think equality, like, you can't be segregating people.
Are we too sensitive, though? Are we getting a bit too sensitive?
Well, it's easy for you to comment because you're not of Asian descent.
Of course.
So I guess it's hard for you to
hence
really
why I've put the call out there to the listeners. Someone's called through. This could be risky, don't they? 13, 12, 16 is our number. Producer Rach is on the
hunt.
Chatting to people. Where have they launched this? Not in Australia.
I think it is in Australia. It's on the Speedo website, so you can buy them, yeah.
Do we go AJ here, Producer H? All right, AJ's called through. Morning, AJ.
Morning.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you. What do you reckon? Are we too sensitive or is it racist?
100% too sensitive. People need to harden up a bit, I think. I'm actually Caucasian. I'm not of Asian descent, but normal goggles don't fit me properly at all. I struggle to find a pair of goggles that work, so I'd actually be curious to see if these work any better for me or not.
Okay, because you've got smaller eyes, is that what you're saying?
Oh, just my forehead pops out a bit further than others. My eyebrows are out a bit further from my eyes than normal people. Like, just everyone's different.
Yeah.
I don't think it's racist at all. I think people need to relax a little bit.
All right, well, thanks for your call this morning, AJ. Ben has called through as well. There's another product doing something similar, Ben.
I have seen these, yeah.
What is it, Ben?
Oakley do a snowboarding goggle, which is also Asian fit.
And what's the difference with the snowboarding goggles?
It's just how it wraps around your face. One's a different shape to the other one.
Okay, and what do you think about that, Ben?
I think it's perfectly fine. Obviously.
And are you from Asian descent, Ben?
No.
Okay.
Okay. It's how they're genetically built, though. That's what they're saying. They've done all the... They're trying to help.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't agree with calling it Asian fit.
Sometimes when I order clothes online and they say large and it comes back, you know...
And it's been made in China.
Yeah, and you buy it from overseas.
Yeah.
You know, so it
doesn't fit
it's
you.
The different scale, you know, the different scale.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, more calls are coming through, 13, 12, 16.
I'd like to hear some from someone of Asian descent because I'd like to hear what, you know, how they feel about it.
Well, let's go to a break. Let's go to a break and come back.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Speedo have come under fire recently with their goggles that they've marketed towards Asian people, saying that they're an Asian fit. And they only fit Asian people.
And they've done genetic testing and stuff to say we've...
Well, that's what they've said.
Yeah, we've tested a bunch of people think that this is the best goggle for them.
And a bunch of Caucasian people wore them and said that they fitted on their faces fine as well. So
okay.
So it fits everyone.
Well, 13, 12, 16, we got into a discussion about it and you find it offensive.
I don't find it offensive. I'm not from Asian descent.
So what's your gripe with it? You feel like it could be offensive?
I just think it could be offensive towards Asian people. Do they need to really call it Asian fit? Like, I get where they're coming from and, like, you know, obviously it's like, I mean, Emily called up and she said it's like a foundation. There's, like, darker foundations for people with darker skin. And I said, yeah, but they don't call it foundation for black people.
Right.
They just have darker foundation.
It's foundation.
Exactly. It's just foundation that's of a darker colour.
Well, Jean-Pierre has given us a call on
Jean-Pierre. Morning, Jean-Pierre.
Morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very well. What's your take on this?
Wonderful. Well, first of all, I'm Caucasian. I'm a swimmer. My wife's Caucasian. We've got three boys that are all Caucasian, but we were fortunate enough to adopt a little girl from China, and she's now 6 years old. She's a swimmer as well. And I can tell you one thing, to find a pair of goggles that fit her is a different endeavor than finding goggles for myself or for my boys. I think, personally, we are way too sensitive about this. To me, this is useful information, and I go on the website, and I'll go and have a look. Is there anything that I can that can assist me to find goggles that will fit her? I think it's brilliant. So I think it's a marketing angle, but it's also a practical thing that they're using, which is realistic. She's got a flat nose bridge. I've got a very prominent, narrow, kind of a high root of my nose. And I have a difficult time to find goggles for myself, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Could they possibly sell it in a different way? You know, maybe say goggles specific for flat nose people. And then everyone with a flat nose can be offended.
I'm one of those people. I'm definitely one of those people. Jean-Pierre, do you think, though, obviously you can't comment because you're Caucasian, an Asian person, say, you know, they see this, do you think that obviously it would affect some people and it would offend them? Do you see where they might be coming from, that it might offend them if they don't think they need a different pair of goggles? They think they can wear, you know, would you say a normal pair of goggles, they don't need a specific type?
Yeah, I do understand where you come from, and certainly I think the history of each person will dictate how they perceive information. And if you do have an issue with yourself, maybe you'll be more sensitive to it. But I think my daughter is extremely proud to be Chinese. I'm proud of her to be Chinese. I've got a South African background. My kids were born in Canada, so I don't care. I mean, she's got an Asian face, and I can't change that. And that is the most accurate description, I think, that someone can express themselves with if they want to explain to me a product that I can find to fit her. So I do understand where you come from, but I personally don't think we should be that sensitive. If you're not interested in the product, just look the other way and find something that suits you. But I think people are just offended too easily. And I think social media is like oil on the fire, because one guy puts a Twitter in and the next guy puts a tweet in, and, you know, and then there's a whole bunch of people that has racist agendas that might just jump on the bandwagon and throw a few comments in. There's nothing racist about that, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can definitely see that side of it as well. I mean, it does describe best what that person is. If you're of Asian descent and it's Asian fit, those goggles are good for you. Would you be offended if they had Caucasian fit? If they said, we've got Caucasian fit goggles, are you offended?
Well, depending on how they described it. I don't know. To be honest, I don't swim, so I don't really wear goggles, so I can't really comment.
Oh, well, and you need the right goggles for your eyes. That's the thing. So it is a big one. But thanks for your calls this morning on that one.
Thanks,
we appreciate
John Bier.
Yeah, we appreciate that, mate.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Still no one from Asian descent that commented on it. So it's hard. Like, I mean, I'd like to hear an opinion.
I'm of the belief that we are too sensitive these days.
Okay.
That's how I feel. I'm like, come on, guys. It's a goggles that is right for you. If you want to make it racist, if you want to take it down that road, then...
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I think people are definitely too sensitive
these
days. Way
too sensitive.
100%. And there's a lot of different things. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff in the past, like 12 months, where I'm like, things are just getting so sensitive that you can't say anything these days. But, I mean, I guess comes down to how the person feels.
And how it's perceived,
that it directly affects.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
We have to at least bring up the Philip Lee psychic medium thing, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to bring it up.
We have to address it.
We had her on the show yesterday, and I'm just looking at the prediction that Philippa made. And, okay, so what did Philippa had here? New South Wales to beat the Maroons.
Which that didn't happen.
With a score of 29. Now, I thought at the end of the game, I added up the score and I thought, could this equal 29?
Which that would have been interesting.
It equaled 28. Josh Maguire to clash with Andrew Fifita. I fell asleep just after half time. So did anything happen while I was passed out?
Not really.
Okay. Josh Maguire with a leg injury. Anyone?
No.
Did he come off at one point?
He did have his leg strapped, but yeah, he came off for a rest, I think.
All right, and first try scorer to the Maroons, which did happen.
That did happen.
She said light hair, Caucasian descent,
which Holmes,
but not blonde.
Isn't.
No.
No, he's kind of got darker features.
Yeah. Wasn't it Philippa Lee's greatest prediction? But sport's not her thing, I guess. I don't know.
She doesn't watch rugby league.
No.
But, I mean,
not one from five, though. Not one. Not one, Philippa.
And you put money on Morgan to be the first try scorer off the back of first try scorer prediction.
Not only did I do that, I roped in a couple of the other guys to get in on it as well.
Producer Rach, she was in on it.
Yeah.
She put money on, who was it?
Cameron Munster,
who fit the bill. He fit the profile
so
of what
my
Philippa.
Guy, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, he fit the bill
light
too.
Light hair,
yeah,
not blonde.
Yeah.
And he's the one that passed the first try as well. I thought, if you just put it down,
there he goes. You are the same in every game. You never pick the first try scorer.
I know.
I picked it in the first game, didn't I?
Yeah, but it's no good if you don't get money on it.
I said to you, I remember that morning in the first game.
You did do that, yeah.
I said, that's who I pick.
So, what are we, Philippa Lead? I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
I'd like to hear the explanation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can we quickly give her a call? I'm happy to stay on air until we get her on, just to see what her take is, just see if we can give her a quick cold call, just to have a quick chat.
I wasn't upset about it because we won.
Didn't matter from there.
Yeah, exactly. The Maroons.
I mean, if the first try scorer thing came through, right, mm-hmm. and I won on that, I would have forgiven everything else.
But that's because you would have put a bet on. You would have won money.
I've got to find something. I've got to find something here. Producer Ray's just putting a phone call in to see if we can get Philippa. Philippa answers, hi, you've reached Philippa's phone. She can't be reached today. Please call back in a week when Origin has blown over. Here we go.
She's
Here's
on.
Philippa Lee,
she's on.
Psychic medium.
Morning, Philippa.
Morning, Philippa.
Hi, how are you all?
What happened last night?
What's going on?
What happened, Philippa?
Bree will be very happy.
I'm stoked.
Gordy's not happy with me now.
I'm not happy because I put 10 bucks on the person who I thought you said was going to score the first try.
Oh, look, if it was a guaranteed thing, I'd already have won the lottery, I think.
I know.
It's not necessarily for this, but look, there was a couple of bits we saw were pretty accurate. There was the 48 was the first New South Wales fellow to score a try. It was number 48.
What's 48? Oh, I don't remember you saying 48.
I do remember her saying 48. But
at the very end, there was 48. And then there was the Queensland getting the first goal. Look, there's a couple of theories I have. Why doesn't this work every time? Because it doesn't work every time.
Okay.
I did it for a bit of fun. Look, I think it's possibly that there's variables. You don't know who's going to win.
Right.
But then why can you see Trump 15 years before? What's different variables? Another reason is people are betting. So you might know the movie Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey, for those of you who've seen it. But he gets the powers of God and he gets to do whatever he wants. And everyone wins the lottery. He presses yes on everyone's prayers. And look, the world goes askew. There's all sorts of things. So I think it's just that there's more to this than meets the eye. Like I said, I'd already be a lottery winner.
So are you saying, Philippa, because people could have benefited from your prediction, as in they could bet and win money or whatever, that can be a variable?
I think that actually doesn't work.
You went very specific, though, when I look at the predictions. Like, it's super specific. New South Wales to beat Maroons with a score of 29. So where would 29 have come from?
Look, it could be various things again, and I'm just sort of putting it out there. I don't actually know why it doesn't always work. But definitely it could be another score that happens down the track. It might not be linear. I have a lady once asked me what place she was going to move into. I saw the next three places she lived in and out of order.
Right,
so
okay.
So it's a bit quantum, maybe, is that. We'll have to wait and see. I saw that in the past there was a score 28. 22 and 6 add up to 28. I can't find the 29 at this point, Gordy, at all.
What so I'm going to take from this then, Philippa, then, okay, because you've said that sometimes you get mixed up. No, don't gamble responsibly, of course, but I'm going to call it right now with you, Philippa. You ready for this?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Game one of Origin 2018, 29 zip to the Blues.
Whoa!
29 zip.
Look, I'm hopeful. I'm actually a bit of a New South Wales fan. Does that interfere? That's another theory, you know. So I'm not a big football chaser. I remember 20 years ago I was, you know, New South Wales because I was born here. But, look, ultimately that can do something to your vision as well. But you've got to be really emotionally detached to see accurately as well. So it works in a reading, as you know, it works privately, but when it comes to sports, gosh, do not bet the house. I always say that.
Damn it.
Bet responsibly.
My dad tried to get me to get this to work every year and it never worked. The only year it worked for Melbourne Cup was last year for me, ever.
Well, can you predict
years.
Melbourne Cup this year then?
I'm not going to try.
Not going to try on this one.
No,
all right.
This is it for me. This is it for me in sports. I've had my fun with sports.
All right,
I wanted to see if it worked.
Hanging up the sporting boots, Philippa Lee. No more to be done. Where were we on the Melbourne Cup one last year?
I don't know.
I don't listen half the time on this show.
And now, see, it's all coming back to bite you.
Philippa Lee here at CFM. Have a great one.
Bye.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.